Welcome into the show. If you've been watching Western media, you probably don't realize that the United States is actually at war with Russia. We're going to go into the details on what Congress just approved last night and so much more.
And if you're on social media, you better take sides in this war, and you better take the side that everybody else wants, or else you're going to get kicked off said social media. We're going to discuss the new rules of engagement. They very much are like the rules of engagement around COVID, just so you know.
And Justin Trudeau is back speaking about how Western democracies need to stand up for free speech and all of the things that we hold dear as a democracy. The hypocrisy is thicker than poutine this morning here on Morning Invest, as Morning Invest starts right now.
Well, hey, the poutine reference is a throwback to the newsletter. Hopefully you're subscribed. It's morninginvest.com. It's a free newsletter. This was in reference to a story about how a restaurant in Paris has been getting flack for serving poutine because some ignorant people think that it is a support of Vladimir Putin. It is not. Poutine is a French-Canadian dish. Has nothing to do with Vladimir Putin. So consume it if you like.
Yes, go to morninginvest.com and subscribe. Well, no doubt if you've been watching the Western media over the past couple of weeks, you would think, you know, Ukraine good, Russia bad, and the United States is far removed from anything related to war. But you would be wrong. You would be wrong because I think we can officially go on record and say, make no mistake about it, the United States is officially at war with Russia. Now, sure, Congress didn't step in and make any kind of declaration because Congress does never step in and make declarations of war. We go to war in Vietnam, we go to war in Afghanistan, we go to war in Yemen and Syria.
Well, there's a reason for that, though. It's because war, if you actually declare war, you have to pay your soldiers more. And you also have to pay your soldiers in perpetuity in their retirement funds more. So we can send people to war all we want. In fact, we have soldiers in conflict zones all over the world right now, not just the Ukraine. But if we actually declare it, then it costs us more. And I'm sorry, I can't stop saying the Ukraine. We need just like a big X every time I do it because I know it's so annoying.
Yeah.
You can just kick me under the table.
Well, we saw yesterday Congress step in and now is sending $12 billion to Ukraine instead of the $10 billion that we heard about earlier in the week. Now, bear in mind that the United States government hasn't even officially gotten its budget together yet, but it didn't stop people, I mean, like every member of Congress yesterday from doing like an absolute victory lap. I mean, here was Chuck Schumer. Here I am. These are the jets we're sending to you.
That's like a social media brag when someone gets a new Volvo.
Right. Like, here we go. Like, this is the one we're going to send to you. We're going to send you more of these. Don't you worry about it. But in addition to which, we're going to send you $12 billion to Ukraine to make sure that you are propped up against the Russian invasion, the tyranny of Russia. But think about this for a second. I mean, the United States is not declaring war at all, but in fact, they are by proxy putting, you know, billions of dollars in resources into the hands of the Ukrainian government to fight a proxy war. And yesterday, or if you were watching over the weekend, you may have caught Anthony Blinken coming out saying that NATO countries have a green light now to send fighter jets to the Ukraine. So will we support? She asks him this question, you know, will we in fact support, you know, if Poland sends these fighter jets to Ukraine, then will we support that? That would arguably be an act of war, right? I mean, NATO basically fighting a war against Russia.
Yes. Either you're supporting the influx of weapons or you are not. You can't say, well, we don't support it, but we support that guy doing it. That right. is the same, you
it's
guys.
The same thing.
Like, your friends and your neighbors would take that the same.
How come all of a sudden, like, Zelensky and the Ukraine are so much better than Russia, the Russian people? Like, who's making the determination on who's the better people?
Social media and our, you know, and our government and our corporate oligarchy that runs our, you know, that runs the United States government.
Well, okay, but I want us to be careful that we're not saying Vladimir Putin, what he's doing is fine and that he is worth defending, right?
He might be crazy, but the idea that suddenly Vladimir Putin over the last week is now mad Vlad and he's now crazy.
If he's strategic,
he was a member of the KGB. He's not just like some, he might be a warmonger. He might be. but he is
might all, be.
But he, yeah, when,
they
I don't
haven't done what we've
him.
Done.
But he's like, absolutely strategic. I mean, he might be, and you know, he might be crazy.
Put okay. the shoe on the other foot.
What well, we still? He's yeah. still an imperialist. I mean, I think he's an imperialist.
Yes.
And that's the motivation behind a lot
so
of
So are our leaders.
And an autocrat, right? So he right. has changed the laws in his country so that he can be mm-hmm. elected in perpetuity.
Take run of state media, censor.
Right.
Censor,
so, know. Okay, I want us to be careful. Like, yes, there's definitely problematic things in Ukraine that Western media is ignoring, and they are
okay,
all of a sudden
we're missing
our white
the point.
Knight.
Yeah, okay, but we're missing the point. The United States is effectively in a war with Russia right now. You can call it whatever you want, but I don't want this to be lost on us. Like, we sort of sugarcoat everything in the United States. You know, we keep this sanitized stuff over there. Make no mistake about it. We are in a war now with Russia. You want to drive us away from a U.S. reserve currency. That's essentially what the United States government has done now, pushed us towards a Chinese reserve currency.
Mm-hmm.
China, we saw over the past few days, China coming out in this alliance, basically saying, you know, Russia is our number one ally, our
well,
number
like
one
we're
friend.
Ready. We stand behind them.
Russia stands now using the Chinese banking system to run the show. Moving again, Turkey, India, China, all moving away from the U.S. reserve, U.S. dollar as reserve currency because of what we're doing in the rest of the world.
Well, it's an interesting, like, tree falls in the forest question is, would Russia have done this had NATO not stuck its nose in and say, you cannot do it?
No.
Do they want this area anyway?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, why don't
yes,
we just go?
Yes, they do.
Well, who wants this area?
Russia wants this
no,
territory.
No, what they don't. What, I mean, if you well, okay, we're not gonna. I'm not gonna argue on Putin's behalf. But if you listen to what Putin has said over the many years, is that an incursion by NATO or a support of NATO into this area is a non-starter for us, and we have known this for years. In fact, Lindsey Graham, going back to 2016,
they consider Ukraine something they should have and always have had. As a part of, like, something that should not have been broken away. In fact, Ukraine itself, the word means borderlands. Borders what? Borders Russia. They see it as something. And yes. There are places inside Ukraine that agree, right? So it's not just that simple.
It's simple as what?
As the point you made before that. I don't remember.
Okay, good. I'm glad I called you out on it because I knew you were full of crap. I could sense that being married to
what?
You. So Lindsay, let's go back to 2016.
Don't condescend, Mr. Wayne.
We have since 2016 made this a mission. We saw Senator Lindsey Graham. We saw Senator John McCain. I talked about this last week on the show when that video unearthed from 2016 where Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator John McCain both standing there in front of Ukrainian forces, basically saying, we're going to give you everything we've got. We're totally going to support you militarily, and Putin needs to be finished. So we were signaling this back then. We already knew.
Yes.
We already knew this was going to happen.
Yes.
We've been waiting for this to happen. The military-industrial complex has been waiting for this to happen. Here's Senator Lindsey Graham in 2016.
It's our fight.
This is our fight.
2017 will be the year of offense.
Oh, we're going to the offense. Okay.
All of us will go back to Washington. And we will push the case against Russia.
Yes, we will do that. We will do that in a big way.
Enough of a Russian aggression. It is time for them to pay a heavier price.
And by the way, where was the Russian aggression? Just to be clear here, in this part of the world, where was the Russian aggression at this stage? The aggression...
What? What are you talking about?
At this stage,
in 2016?
Well, specifically against the Donbas region, specifically is what I'm talking about. The aggression came from Ukrainian forces against ethnic Russians. That's what we were talking about. Now, of course, we can talk
in
about...
In 2016.
Right. We can talk about Crimea. We can talk about, obviously, annexation of Crimea. And Putin's hands are not clean on any of this. But,
no.
My point is, since when the hell does the U.S., why should we give a rat's ass about what's happening in Ukraine with American soldiers and money and U.S. taxpayer dollars going to prop up a regime? I just don't explain to me how this is why we should be spending money and American lives and resources on this very cause.
Okay, but here's the thing that I keep, and I know David's point is like, well, we don't keep our word, so, right? And that point is well taken, but In 1994, we asked Ukraine to give up their nuclear arms, and they had the third largest store in the world. They did that on the promise that we would protect them. If we didn't want that, we should have elected leaders.
We did. Who- we did. But, of course, they broke that promise, and no one called them out on that. The United States, U.S. military, U.S. media, no one called them out on breaking their agreement with us in 2014 under the Minsk agreements, which was not to bomb people in eastern Ukraine, which led to tens of thousands of lives lost in eastern Ukraine. Last week, we showed you the videos of these horror, I mean, children being killed. I mean, awful, awful stuff. So they didn't keep up their end of the bargain, which was do not bomb and kill on the, that was part of the ceasefire agreement.
Right. But again, the United States doesn't need anyone keeping, it's not about keeping agreements. It's about having them as talking points. And
but my
excuse.
Point is,
I'm not saying that we should do it. I'm saying
so
that
you're supporting war. You're
no,
supporting U.S.
You're not in, listening.
Okay. But my point, okay. Then explain, what is your point then?
I'm saying that we can use this as a talking point. If the United States wants war, which clearly it does, right? If the, because I mean, think about what happens when you declare war, you open up yourself to all sorts of abilities to print your own money, sell treasury bonds, open up, you know, in fact, the Persian Gulf War is still not declared over, if you ask Congress.
Of course not.
It started in 1990, in August of 1990. So if we can just have Congress declare ourselves another war, yes, I'm saying they want this, right?
I'm not saying Congress should declare us a war at all. All I'm saying is for us to acknowledge that we are actually in a war. I mean, we can sit there and watch television and mainstream media and say that this is the Ukrainian-Russian conflict and that NATO is not going to get involved and, you know, no-fly zones are probably not going to happen.
Who
cares about any of that? We are already at war.
It may not revolve around NATO.
Well, I was going to say, technically, we've been at war with them since after World War II because we, by creating NATO, we were basically saying, hey, look, you know what? We don't trust you. We're going to place bases and weapons pointed at you like you did in Cuba that we didn't like. But, you know, here's the hypocrisy. We're going to do it to you for the rest of eternity.
And we're going to be able to spend billions on all kinds of Cold War weaponry. I mean, the argument, of course, about the decline of the Soviet Union is that we simply outspent them.
Right.
And we're to believe also that they just created all these nukes, like we didn't send them to them. Like, where did they get the nukes?
Yes. Yeah. I am not saying that this agreement is binding. I'm saying the agreement gives us the talking point as a launch pad.
Okay.
I'm not moralizing on behalf of the 1994 agreement. I'm saying we can say that and head into war and feel good about it, right? It's problematic. Sure, I'm not.
But if we didn't 100% stay within that agreement, then doesn't that make it null and void?
Only for people who are really paying attention, which they sort of believe that in wartime people don't.
So let's talk about, I mean, okay, we're sending 12, by the way, it was $10 billion. Now it's $12 billion that we are sending to Ukraine to fight a proxy war. Okay. Make no mistake about it.
Yes.
We can't help our own citizens in the United States with any kind of stimulus agreement or any kind of child tax credit that expired or student loan debt or anything else. But we can send $12 billion to war, two more than was even asked for. And Chuck Schumer and senators can get up there and show off the jets we're also sending Poland. And there that they will be able to use in NATO in Ukraine against Russian soldiers.
Yeah.
Launching
this war.
Hey guys,
paid parental leave. You don't get that. You get this.
Yeah.
Instead.
Are you
happy about that?
So you don't get any of that.
Child tax credit. You don't get that. You get this. This is what you get with your tax credit.
And Anthony Blinken saying NATO countries have a green light to send fighter jets. Like, we are 100% behind you. We are behind this war 100%. And then of course, the other shoe to drop is that now, just a few minutes ago, we knew this was coming this morning, but the U.S. is now expected to announce a full ban on Russian oil as soon as today. We could be seeing upwards of $300 per barrel. And gas prices have already hit a record. They're already the highest they've ever been.
Yes.
$7 in Los Angeles.
That is insane.
$7 a gallon in Los Angeles. $5 and, you know, for the average price.
Yes.
But for a person who relies on that every day for their commute, for their travel, for their business, this is a catastrophe. I mean, that's arguably what it is.
You know why? That's why certain trends are up for bus route in certain places because, you know, Do you want to talk about Venezuela at this point?
Or this is what I'm talking about. Yeah, let's go into it. So let's talk about the hypocrisy of this.
So now the United States is poised to lift sanctions from Venezuela because we do not want to buy oil from Russia. Okay, what does that mean? President Trump in 2017 issued sanctions on Venezuela and in order to keep their president, who the United States at the time and still considers an autocrat, and who invests in privatized oil in order to benefit himself. So those sanctions have been in place for 5 years now. Well, now we're saying we're willing to talk to the president and lift those sanctions and talk about maybe buying some oil from there. So talk about this idea of the government choosing winners and losers, like, right? Okay, autocrats and dictators are okay if we need them and we don't need to actively be at war with them. Now, at the time when those sanctions were put in place in 2017, critics were saying, look, Venezuelan economy is suffering. There are people there. Some of these statistics are crazy. Despite vast oil reserves in the South American country of Venezuela, 31 million people have widespread shortages of food and basic necessities, along with triple digit inflation. And so anyone who spoke out against these sanctions in 2017 said, look, we're making it worse on Venezuelan people. We were okay to do that, right? Either yes or no, depending on which side of the aisle you sat in, but at least we had concern that sanctions would hurt people, citizens who are not involved in politics, right? That was a concern in Venezuela. It does not seem to be so for Russians, though.
Right. And so here's a fun fact, as Rachel Blevins says, who was a former anchor on RT, which was, I love how RT America, even it still says, like they just, Twitter just adds whatever little stuff they can stick here. Anyway, fun fact, she says, Russia was the second largest foreign supplier of oil to the United States in 2021.
Yes.
As the U.S. looked for alternatives amid sanctions on Venezuela. Now the U.S. is reportedly considering a ban on Russian oil imports, so it's looking to Venezuela for help. And they're sending a delegation there, and she says, you cannot make this up. You can't make this kind of stuff up. So we're sending a delegation out of Venezuela to, like, see if they've, like, I don't know, what? Like, they're going to go there. It's going to be like a BS mission where they're going to go and be like, have you guys improved? Oh, you have? Okay.
Are we going to talk to Guaido or Maduro? Like,
no,
which
Maduro.
One are we?
Maduro. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And he says, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll talk to you. I was pretty pissed at you in 2017, but you have money? Come on over.
Yeah. And oh, so the you don't like the other guy right now? Oh, I see. So we're in favor now?
I'm the lesser of two evils?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
But this is official. I mean, guys, this is going to happen. So, you know, this oil ban is about to happen here as we're seeing the breaking news this morning. I mean, this is $300 a barrel is what we could be facing.
I went to fill up my tank yesterday, and after I picked up my daughter from school, and they had it was a $50 cap. Like you could
wow.
Like
really
yeah and I've never seen that, and I don't know if it was maybe just like their policy or what, but when I went to fill up my tank, it capped out at $50. That was all I could get.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a reality now for, you know, we had, you know, this has been a dark day, I mean, a reckoning for us, right? We've known that this was going to happen at some point. I remember talking about this when I was on the air back in Fox, like what happens if we face another energy crisis or our reliance or the Mideast is aflame and a war and blah, blah, blah. We've got, you know, are we finally going to get our, you know, more drilling in the United States and step up our, you know, get away from our dependency on foreign oil, step up renewables, any of this, is any of this going to actually happen? And it doesn't happen.
Don't know. You know, we're going to do a story later in the show about doomsday preppers because it feels more relevant than ever before. And it may be time to not talk about them like as crazy Christian white male nuts. Maybe it's time that we all think about not doomsday prepping, but actually living in a sustainable way that is not dependent on geopolitics.
Yeah, so we'll talk about all of that. Plus, we're going to talk about all the social media bans, and we're going to hear from Justin Trudeau. Wait till you hear this soundbite from Justin Trudeau. I am telling you, It's amazing. People just have like, it's almost like they have no memory of like what happened last week in their own country. More on that in a minute. But first, you want to tell us about our friends over at Babbel?
Sure. Okay. If you are interested in speaking a new language, as I know so many of you are, because it's truly a global world, why not turn to Babbel to help you find a way to learn a lesson that fits into your schedule? Babbel has several different languages and over 10 million subscribers right now. It is the only way to learn a new language and make it a fun and engaging hobby. Babbel has 15-minute lessons that make it perfect for you to learn on the go. And it, instead of using AI to make a lesson plan, they have expertly edited lessons created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective, and they have over 14 languages that you can choose from, including here you see Clayton's Portuguese, Aulish the Português. Babbel has speech recognition technology to tell you that my accent, speaking Portuguese in that instance, was not very good. It outs me all the time. But you can improve it with Babbel's accent help. Now, right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com. Use our promo code INVEST. That's Babbel.com, code INVEST. It is language for life. Lengua para vida.
Well, if you live in the United States of America, you may think that you live in the freest country in the world. The country that has and stands by freedom of speech and lack of censorship, and you would be absolutely wrong to, because that's not the country you actually live in. You live in. I think the country ranks like 25th on the list right now.
Of
social liberties in the United States of America. You are not living in the land of the free, even though that's what they say on the billboard when you drive into America. But a number of social media companies and oligarchs in Silicon Valley basically run the show in America. I don't know if you know that or not, but those are the people that are actually in power in the United States. And all you need to do is watch what's happening right now on social media over the past 2 weeks since the invasion of Ukraine has unfolded. You've seen all sorts of woke Silicon Valley companies coming out, standing with Ukraine, and we are going to shut down accounts, Twitter banning over 100 different accounts that pushed an I stand with Putin hashtag. You know, Twitter just says, we don't stand with that hashtag, so we're going to ban any kind of speech without context. We're going to shut down your accounts. Well, now it's getting out of hand where journalists who are speaking out against the war in Ukraine, standing up and saying, hey, We do not stand for imperialism. We do not stand for NATO funding any kind of war back and forth. If you violate that, get prepared to be shut down, suspended on social media, Facebook and Twitter. This happened yesterday, but this one stood out to me more than most. But Brian Berletic is an analyst. He is a journalist. And this is what Benjamin Norton had to say yesterday. The political censorship on this website, Twitter, gets worse every day. Twitter suspended anti-imperialist researcher and analyst Brian Berletic without any explanation. Anyone who criticizes Western governments is now in danger of being censored while Silicon Valley pushes NATO propaganda.
That's terrifying. I mean, you have to think about how war is not as simplified as good or bad. Is it just because you can't stand on behalf of, I mean, think about who, if we're censoring accounts like this and then we're putting sanctions on people's governments, right? Then that has to include anyone who stands with who you think is the loser or who you think is in the wrong. So now what, all social media in Russia, now all social media in what, Armenia? Belarus, yeah, I mean, Azerbaijan, what is the end goal here is just to frame the narrative right now. Put this in context as 1 year ago today, if you had said something like a COVID vaccine does not prevent the spread of COVID, you would have had the same treatment, right? So we're right to think, what is the narrative here that's being promoted?
Well, I'll say,
and the scarier part,
go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say the scarier part is the fact that most of these things that we've debunked on the show over the past couple of weeks were mainstream stories that were false, completely 100% false. And so now we can't say the truth narrative. The false narrative, which is propaganda, is what will win at the end of the day with this.
Oh, it's been ridiculous. Did you see that there was a Good Morning America piece? I'll see if I can find it. But this Good Morning America piece has... It says, like, all these Ukrainians are standing up for their country. And it showed, it said, all of these different models, these famous models of Ukraine are standing up for their country. And it went through a whole list of them. And then it said, it highlighted one particular model who was standing there with a rifle. Even what's-her-name, a face of Ukrainian modeling beauty, is now taking up arms against Russia. It was like a photo. It was a ridiculous, like, photo shoot from a long time ago with her, not even with a real rifle, but with an airsoft rifle, like not even a real gun. One that I guess you would shoot targets at, like the, you know, your kids.
That's brilliant. Remember in the 90s, the supermodels did that Everlast commercial. It was Claudia Schiffer and Cindy Crawford in the like sports bras and Everlast and pretending that they boxed.
Right.
That is exactly what you need to use as war propaganda.
Exactly.
That's how you win. This is, you guys, I've come up with it.
Oh, like here it go. You know, former Miss Ukraine. This is Miss Ukraine admitted that her gun-toting Instagram pic is not exactly. She's like, I'm taking up arms. I'm out fighting for you.
I have seen that shared as legitimate too.
Me too. When I saw that, I was like, come on.
Like, oh, and look, this story was fact-checked. Oh,
the top
it?
Of the gun, the sight's pink. I mean, give me a break.
Is
like,
it?
I got my braids done. I'm out here right now in this war-torn area, making sure that I'm protecting the people.
Okay,
of
don't
Ukraine.
Start on the braids though, because Scarlett Johansson and her sister, the other Black Widow, they do wear braids into war. It's very practical.
Yeah.
And super cute. So,
okay. All right. Then I'll give you that.
You've never
I
had
mean,
long
if you
hair
are gonna
and
go
had
to
go
war.
Into combat. You yes, a braid just down the front. I mean, but. You know, the Black Widows, they do a braid and then into a ponytail because you can't have your hair down.
But I kind of feel like the social media bans and stuff like that is one of those situations where you've got these corporations that they've got the steering wheel, but it's the American people with their foot on the gas. So it's like neither one of them is really controlling the other so much. It's like one of them has some control, the other has the other. So it's like in some regards, I think the social media companies are trying to cater to the masses, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I think it ends up in sort of a weird, like, positive feedback loop.
Well, it's amazing to me, but then there's, like, such a huge bowl of hypocrisy out there right now. Like, the New York Times the other day, this story made me laugh because they publish a story almost, like, without any self-awareness. Russia takes censorship to new extremes, stifling war coverage. It's like, but if you actually wrote this piece critically, Anton, you would have highlighted all of the ways in which mainstream media in the United States is censoring speech and removing accounts. All you need to do is look at Twitter historically. Like, this isn't even new for Twitter, for crying out loud. I remembered this story from a few years ago when I was an anchor on Fox, and I was like, oh, yeah, and I had to look this up this morning. Remember this? When this happened during the Occupy Wall Street story? So these people were there on Wall Street saying, hey, we don't stand for these tech oligarchs running our lives. Twitter banned a whole bunch of these left-wing accounts because it didn't comport with mainstream corporate-run America.
Yeah.
This was 2018. So, you know, they have a history of doing this. And even YouTube. I mean, look at YouTube during COVID and beyond, or in election information. Like, here's YouTube's page. Certain types of misleading or deceptive content with serious risk of egregious harm are not allowed on YouTube. This includes certain types of misinformation that can cause real-world harm. Okay. Like, real world, like certain types of misinformation. So when someone takes to Twitter and says, I think it's maybe worth analyzing how much money the United States is sending NATO and funneling billions of dollars in missiles and weapons and aircraft into a region where they are basically fighting a proxy war. No, Twitter will flag you for that because then you're speaking out against NATO.
I mean, media theorists will say that in a free market information, if people say stupid things that are wrong, they will eventually be found out, right? And people will figure out what's right and what's wrong. I don't think media theorists ever accounted for the internet moving information so fast. And it does seem to be the case that a lie can make its way all the way around the world before the truth catches up to it. But this is our fault for overreacting to the Trump election, where we said, well, you know, Trump supporters were able to share fake news about Hillary and all other kinds of crazy things. That's why he got elected. We need to over-police social media now to make sure that we don't get another Trump. And social media did their mea culpas and said, yeah, okay, I did this. Sorry, I'll stop it. And look what we've got now. We've got Twitter deciding
and Facebook,
who is right and who is wrong,
and YouTube,
in a war that clearly is not a black and white issue.
I mean, we got Google, you got Apple, but great point. You got all of these companies are suddenly so woke about what happens in Ukraine. But what about Yemen? What about Somalia? What about the war in Iraq? What about Afghanistan? What about
China?
Israel?
What about Syria?
Yeah, I mean, we've got countries literally doing bombing overnight, like Israel last night bombing other countries last night.
Not interested.
We can't talk about it. You can't talk about it, and you'll be banned or blocked from it. Here's great Twitter, or here's great comments here. John S. says, make no mistake, nobody is being censored for misinformation. They are being censored for speaking the truth. That's exactly the truth. Absolutely 100%. Who are you to label misinformation? According to who? According to like these CIA thugs who are basically shoved inside of mainstream media organizations now. I like this one. This war on free speech and journalism is totally criminal. But who's going to fight? Who's going to pay press charges? Right?
Well, and that's exactly why we need to be free speech purists, because if we're not pure on all free speech, that all speech is protected, then this is exactly what happens. And this is what when they first took Alex Jones down years ago. A lot of us were like, that is the beginning of the end for free speech, because he, as crazy as he is in a lot of things, he is right in a lot of things too. But the fact that he was not able to say that on social media started this whole thing. And now it's coming for all of us.
You know, we're all right and we're all wrong all the time, right? So Alex Jones is not one of, but we all say stupid stuff. We all say smart stuff. You know, most of us anyway. I say a lot of stupid stuff.
Sure.
And so one smart thing I'll say right now is make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Hit that subscribe button.
And push a like button.
But look, we say stupid stuff all the time, and it shouldn't be up to somebody else to decide whether or not other people can hear it. I mean, that's the point of like, Larry Flint versus the United States, right? The idea that like, you got to protect even the speech you don't like. You've got to make sure that people have an opportunity. Right. Going back to the election of 1800s, 1800, when you had John, Callender going after Thomas Jefferson.
I thought the Flint case was about deciding what's prurient and what's not. Wasn't that about prurient is you know when you see it?
Was that the Supreme Court case, you'll know when you see it? Was that? I don't think that was that case.
But you're right about it was about protecting speech you don't like.
You've got to support a guy who creates Hustler magazine because you might not like to see, naked women. If you're one of those people, I apologize for you. But if you don't like to see that, then, that's okay.
That was also violence against women. So I don't know about that tone. Hustler could be pretty. Yeah. They could.
The last time I read it was in January. So I haven't seen. I haven't seen them clean up their act lately.
I took my son once to a KKK rally just to show him that, hey. This is, we don't agree with them. But they have their right to stand here and say what they want to say. And I feel like this, what started all this is if we try to stop those people from having a voice, their voice not only gets louder, but eventually it does end up coming back around for those who, what's the quote about the guns in Germany? It's like, first they came for our guns. First they came for this. Then they came for these people and I did nothing. And then for me, there was nobody to fight for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of like that.
But
How did you find a KKK meeting?
Indiana. Indiana,
yeah.
Indiana was like Indiana created the KKK.
You're like down the street.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Isn't Indiana like the state that created the KKK? Isn't it?
I thought that was in the South. Yeah, Missouri Kentucky. Or something like that.
But I think they had like the longest running or like the largest. I mean, they were very big into it, especially Southern Indiana.
Yeah. Did you see the story in the newsletter this morning about how far right groups are recruiting gym enthusiasts? So it's like, hey, would you like a tip on how to get super swole and then also join our Nazi group? because they see it as part of your duty. If you are eventually going to rise up, which they do want to do, you better be in shape if you're about to rise up, right? You got to be ready for it. You got to become a pump and iron like Rocky.
Go ahead, Philip. You were going to say.
I was going to say, well, on the free speech front, I mean, I think so I don't have as big a problem with the censorship, because I think we have the right to free speech. We do not have the right to uncontested speech. And so I think that, you know, like in the
but
case,
but if you can't even say it can't be contested. If it's blocked, that's what I'm saying.
Nobody's keeping people from saying it. They're keeping them from their own platform. It'd be, you know, it's like when you bring up the idea of like a KKK rally. Like, yeah, you have the right to go have that rally, but that doesn't mean that people shouldn't stand up and counter rally when you do it. Like,
sure. So nobody's saying that.
Well, no, but that's kind of what social media is doing. Like, Twitter has the right to do whatever they want with their platform. So we don't because it's not a public utility, we don't have a right to Twitter. There's not like an inalienable human right.
That though, right there, you just hit the heart of the matter. Which, as Vivek Sidharamana in his book Woke Incorporated points out, I mean, I would encourage all of you to go read this point, where he says, we can argue that it's not a public utility, right? That's the way that they get off by saying that, hey, Twitter is not a public utility. It's not like the electric company, but it is. Because you can actually look at court documents that show, because, and all this goes back to whatever, this goes back to the Bill of Rights, quite honestly, that it's tied to your amount of money that's given to particular government agencies. And because Twitter, Facebook, Google, and all of these guys are so, they basically fund the government, and this has come out in court documents, that they are considered then a public utility because of the amount of money that they give to the federal government. Because and it's actually a pretty low bar, like the amount of money that has to be donated and coordinated. If there's shown collusion, meaning meetings and so forth, because they have meetings in Washington, D.C., they meet with members of Congress, and they donate millions of dollars under the law, they can be considered a public utility. And that's the standard I think we should hold them to. So if Twitter was really a private company and didn't involve itself with Washington politics at all, was totally separate from that, didn't donate money to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and any...
Right, okay.
Great. Point taken. Great. Then you could say, yes, they don't want any kind of Nazi imagery on their website and et cetera, and et cetera. Or whatever speech they don't like this week. Whatever, you know, that's fine.
But always works out that that's not what it's about, because they let the you know, big CNN and Fox News spread complete and 100% propaganda where a third party person can't tell the truth.
Yeah. So if you're an independent journalist, or you're someone who's not working at one of those major media organizations that they've given you a verification badge, a blue verified badge, then you run the risk of your having your accounts banned, you know, having hundreds of accounts. Just because you have a hashtag? I mean, if you actually go to Twitter today, like, so they ban 100 accounts that push I stand with Putin hashtag. I don't stand with Putin. I don't stand with them at all. But because if someone has a hashtag, your account gets shut down. Maybe your business ruined because of what Twitter thinks. But just go to Twitter today, right? Just go to Twitter and go on the right-hand column and see what's being promoted and what Twitter allows to be Twitter allows to have here in the trending columns. You know, oh, Jen Psaki, they can make sure that Jen Psaki is trending.
But is that trending for you? Like, go up, because there's trending in those. See, that's trending for you. That's who Twitter thinks you are.
Well, how do you know that?
Go.
Oh, okay. How about this?
Yeah. I'll go to trending.
Okay. International Women's Day. Okay.
Happy birthday, Suga.
Suga. Tuesday Motivations, Wordle.
Okay.
Apple
event. I mean, I'm not saying that is Venezuela. Ranked in a...
Venezuela's trending. We can have Venezuela trending on our trending page here at Twitter. Okay. When you think about the reason that it's trending is because of an autocracy.
Because we need them now.
Right. Because we need them now. It's okay to be part of this. I mean, do you see this stuff, guys? When you start to pay attention to these things, I know it starts out by sounding like you're conspiratorial and you might have like an uncle that'll look at you askance. But as we've said on the show repeatedly, conspiracy theories end up just being spoiler alerts in the end. You know, people were making fun of this whole notion that, you know, Putin was anti-NATO and he didn't want NATO on his doorstep. He was never going to invade Ukraine. We'd never have a Russian oil embargo. All of it's happening before our eyes. So you can sit there and say it's conspiratorial. Yeah. Look what happened with COVID and all of the lies we were told by the United States government. And now you can sit back and say, well, that was just a spoiler alert. Thank you for ruining the ending for me.
Yeah, and you know, like you couldn't even critique the pharmaceutical companies. like, you know. And the thing is, like, I'm curious as to, like, with Aaron Mate and, you know, Matt Taibbi and Ben Norton, like, guys like that, like, real life journalists, Glenn Greenwald, I wonder if they're going to start getting suspended now because they're actually calling a lot of this out.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look for Richard, look for Benjamin Norton's account. I mean, hey, we were blocked for 7 days. Our channel, this channel, because of what we were reporting back in...
No, specifically for saying that the COVID vaccine does not prevent the spread of COVID, which now is true, right?
On this show, I said that.
We've had no apology. That is now proven science that vaccinated people get COVID. But yeah, we were punished for it.
And that strike is still on the account.
Yeah, if you go to our account, I don't know if I can I show our private account
no,
here, David?
No, don't do that. Ula Hula in the chat has said that conspiracy theory is a CIA term to discredit whistleblowers. Is that true?
I wouldn't doubt it. Ula Hula is always correct. If, by the way, people pay attention to Ula Hula in our chat. Very, very smart person.
Yes.
Very, very smart person.
When you type, I listen.
Yes, when Ula Hula types, you should pay attention.
But I am super interested in whether or not
that's very smart people that watch our show. Smart people who are channel members, by the way, and who are here every day at 9 a.m. Eastern
time. You guys, we have the most erudite audience of any other show on YouTube.
If you want real news, you don't want, you know, billionaire corporations shoving news down your throat, then please come here. We try to contextualize and make sense of what's happening in the world. So is that correct, Ula Hula? I want to make sure that that's correct. It is correct, as other people are saying in the chat.
Other people in the chat are saying
that's
true.
Yes, conspiracy theory was created by the CIA. I wouldn't doubt it at all. Makes
me want
sense.
To go back now and watch that Mel Gibson movie.
Clayton and my family is known as, like, in Thanksgiving, they're like, oh, there goes Natalie's husband with the conspiracy theories.
you have no idea how many times I've heard that in my life.
Yeah. Oh, this wasn't going to happen. None of this stuff was supposed to happen, right? We were not going to ban Russian oil. Are you crazy?
And then,
what happened this morning? We're now banning Russian oil. Yes. And we're going to go to Venezuela to get our oil, even though we banned them. Because of running an autocracy and killing people. Okay, but we'll get our oil from you this month because that's who we're supporting. Yeah, Benjamin Norton, as you were highlighting here, Benjamin, watch for him to be, you know, banned next because he actually reports, you know, the truth. Like I said, our channel was banned for 7 days. This channel was banned in August for 7 days for reporting a fact. And then no apology. Our YouTube channel still has a strike on it. They can remove you at any time. That's why it's so important, guys, to make sure that you've signed up for our daily newsletter at morninginvest.com. It's totally free. And it's just you'll get a newsletter in your inbox first thing in the morning, 7 a.m. roughly, covering some of the big stories of the day. We also have a preview of what we're going to talk about here on the live show. But that way, if, you know, YouTube shuts us down, Twitch shuts us down, Twitter shuts us down, we have a way to actually send an email and say, hey, come on over here and find us here. So just go to our website, go to morninginvest.com. Make sure you're signed up. It's totally free.
Yeah, don't lose us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was interesting on that when we did get banned the day before, because, like, not that it gives me, like, any, like, magical insight, but I spent a lot of time on Reddit. And Reddit is a really good aggregate for kind of like the mentality of the internet in general. I mean, it's also like it's also like the Wild Wild West and just an absolute.
It gives you the Richter scale. But, you know,
exactly.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
And the day before that ban, we were on the show. You guys because David and Clayton were talking about it, and it got kind of close to that what they said the next day. And I'd even texted David. I was like, they will ban us if you keep saying this. Like, it's so against the official narrative. And then sure enough, the next day that ban came in. And it was just because if you, like, follow that trend, you can kind of see, you know, like get your gauge of, like, what people will tolerate and what they won't. And it's not that Reddit, I mean, Reddit is kind of social media, but it's also kind of not. But it was just interesting how predictable it was, because it was so such an antithesis to the official narrative.
Well, the rising was what the Hill Show was just taken down. So the Rising is now gone, blocked or whatever for 7 days. Like, there's a news organization that YouTube just decides, hey, you know what?
Breaking Points?
The Rising.
Recently?
Last night, yeah.
That's because of Kim Iverson, probably, isn't it? Because she's
I don't
a
know.
Truth teller.
I mean, she highlighted what happened. Yeah, she actually did a whole thing about it actually last night. So anyway, this is the thing. Like, these big companies can decide our future. And they are, in my opinion, based on these court laws and based on what I understand about, they are public utilities. Facebook is a public utility at this point. The,
well,
you know, the influence that Jeff Zuckerberg has in Washington and the money that they've poured into campaigns and into Washington, they are a public utility. We should have a say in whether or not our, you know, our speech gets banned on their platforms.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the major issues is they don't tell us what we can and can't say. You just find out with a strike. And then if you try to counter it, you can, you know, you can actually get in trouble even more for doing that. But like, they don't tell you, there's no list of here, you can't say this, you can't say this. It's kind of like,
yeah.
And they don't do that intentionally because they can say, okay, CNN, Fox, these people can say it, you cannot.
Yeah. Right. Well, we need Philip to just give us the Richter scale. All his, well, it's all like, his Reddit
it's,
time.
Yeah.
It's interesting, like because when you look at like the all the demonetization we had for just mentioning GMAX, like it doesn't matter if we went into the content of what that trial was about. Like just mentioning that they would instantly like demonetize. They're like, no,
yeah.
We can't.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Like, you know, so we try our best here on the show to give you information you're not going to get anywhere else. We've got more information to get to.
Okay.
Today.
Before you say that though, Robert Hoyt with his $5 super chat, thank you so much. Does say that the CIA did create the term conspiracy theory in 1967 to discredit people questioning the JFK assassination. That rocks my world a little. I'm going to have to think about that during the break. Clayton, take it away.
You don't have to think too much about it because it's definitely
I'm
true.
I'm going to think on it.
All right. So we do have more information coming up. We're going to talk about Justin Trudeau is back. And he's going to basically, yes, he's going to mansplain. He's going to mansplain exactly what democracies do.
Sounds good.
Standing up for free speech around the world. So we'll talk about that. Plus doomsday preppers. And what's happening there. But first, let's tell you about our friends over at Harry's, my favorite razors, David's favorite razors as well. And in fact, my wife steals my Harry's razors, so maybe they're her favorite razors as well. This March, dump the madness of your old expensive shaving routine by trying Harry's. Betting on the underdog can pay off big, especially when a company like Harry's teams up with the best quality and construction methods in the razor game with an incredibly fair price. So, I mean, this is, you know, this is like trying to take the Cinderella story, right? Supporting an up-and-coming company.
Mm-hmm.
New customers can redeem a Harry's trial set for just $3 on their website. When you go to harrys.com/invest, you'll get that free trial set for just $3. Harry's customers can redeem a starter set. You'll get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for $3. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/invest to try Harry's today. And here's the beauty about Harry's. Their stuff is so good. Like, I will never use another razor again. These guys, I had all those like vibrating crazy razors, you know, back in, and they just never worked. The ones that went around a ball, it had like a ball head or something, you know.
What about waxing your what?
Uh-huh. Anyway, Harry's comes along and I said, oh my God, these are the best razors I've ever used. The best shave gel I've ever used. This is all I buy. And this is all I order is my shave gel, my Harry's razors. I love their foaming face wash. It's really good as well. It has eucalyptus in it. It smells fantastic. So I want you to try it today and you're going to get that free, or you're going to get it for $3 instead of $13, a starter set, a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and everything. Just go to harrys.com/invest. To try Harry's today. Harry's.com/invest to try Harry's today. All right. Let's go north of the border, back up to Canada, where just a few weeks ago, Justin Trudeau, remember the Prime Minister of Canada, was out there telling us how important it was for us to get rid of these Nazis who are blocking downtown Ottawa and driving all of these trucks, all of these white supremacists that are keeping our country from getting back to normal. Just go along and get vaccinated, shut up, and we will tell you what to do. That's our government. Well, Justin Trudeau flew to 10 Downing Street to meet with Boris Johnson and other world leaders to tell us how we need to support Ukraine and how the tyranny of Western governments is going to crush all of us if we don't pay attention to what's happening in Ukraine. So here is Justin Trudeau talking to us about Western democracy and lecturing all of us about how governments should operate.
Like Putin specifically, cannot overthrow those 75 plus years of peace and stability and still benefit from the economic largesse and growth that comes with that. And that firmness is not just Western democracies like us. That is something that we've heard in our conversations.
Wait, can you pause this?
Three of us,
I'd like to know what his math is of 75 years of peaceful stability in Ukraine.
Exactly. Well, of course, not in Ukraine. Talking about Western democracies specifically have given us, because of democracy, since World War II, we've been at peace. Like Europe, we've all been at peace.
Have we now, though?
Right.
What did they call that? What did they call that one thing? It was the the Cold War.
Oh yeah, the Cold War, Iraq War,
which I remind you is still going on. Congress has not voted on a close date.
Somalia, those are not wars. They were never declared wars. Stop calling them that.
On and on and on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I started this and I didn't mean to.
You got to go back to the peace and tranquility of democracy and what Western democracy has brought us.
World. Who don't have the same kinds of ties to Ukraine, but are very, very concerned about the violation of the rule of law, the principle that suddenly might be right once again.
Yeah, we thank you, Justin. Like this is us, you know.
The principle of territorial integrity, respect for sovereignty, the kind of neo-colonialism that Vladimir Putin is trying to impose upon Ukrainians.
All of those things. That we as Canadians...
We stand against
it.
Keep going.
We stand for personal liberty. Mm-hmm. We stand for all of these things.
That's not going to fly. And the strength and the resolve of countries around the world to say, no, this is a moment to stand for democracy against disinformation. Disinformation, propaganda.
Oh, yeah. We've got to make sure...
He did a good job of that, though, last month.
That we stand against misinformation and propaganda. This is what Western democracies hold dear. So we've got to stand.
Go on. Do we have more of
Putin
him?
Specifically cannot overthrow.
That's it. Here we go. Here.
Okay, we saw that one.
So I find this hilarious that Justin Trudeau goes to UK, meets with Boris Johnson and other world leaders, and has the audacity to lecture the rest of the world.
Who's he talking to? Who's in that room that's going to be like, yeah, I'm with you now. I didn't see it that way before, but thanks for that.
Thanks to Trudeau coming here. We almost forgot. We almost forgot about the Canadian Freedom Envoy just a few weeks ago. We totally forgot about all of that.
It's probably an empty room.
I mean, I wonder who's there. I mean... I don't know. Here's what he said about misinformation.
I also had a bilateral meeting with Mark Rutte where we talked about the enhanced importance of NATO, continuing to work together to fight disinformation and protecting freedom of the press, and continuing to work strongly with our friends in the European Union.
We really want to stand for the freedom of the press. When you're arresting journalists in downtown Ottawa for covering what was happening down there.
No, that was before this haircut. That's over.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, no, here's something that actually... So this was a speech he gave yesterday, right? To stand with Ukraine, to stand with NATO. We stand with NATO and making sure that we're making sure that freedom is on the march, right?
So then, his military is at the ready?
Oh, yeah. They're already funneling money to Ukraine. They've already been funneling money to NATO allies as well. Canada's already been sending millions of dollars to make sure that they have weapons. So these proxy wars that these guys get to run, and they get to then explain to us what values they hold dear. I love this. I love him mansplaining this. Here he was, though, on Friday, talking about tyranny. So just on Friday night, he gave a whole separate speech at a separate event about how we need to stand up against tyranny.
We've come to a moment that, quite frankly...
Oh, I love the Ukrainian flag, too, that he's wearing.
We've seen coming in the news, not just about Ukraine, but about democracies around the world, that we see a bit of a slippage
in
our democracies.
Oh, do we? Do you say this without any self-awareness? We see a slippage in democracies over the years. It's slow. It's like a slippage that we see.
A bit of a slippage in our democracies.
Really?
Countries turning towards slightly more authoritarian leaders.
Oh.
Not me, though.
Countries allowing increasing misinformation and disinformation to be shared on social media, turning people against the values and the principles of democracies that are so strong.
We would never do that in the West.
And that slippage over the years,
yeah,
unfortunately emboldened Putin.
Yeah, it does.
That maybe slippage, there's a pill for that kind of slippage.
That spillage that you've got. I mean, how do you get up there and literally in front of a crowd with almost like no self-awareness whatsoever about what just unfolded in your country a few weeks ago, lecture a whole group of people about
representative democracy when you refuse to meet with a certain contingency of your population
and take away personal freedoms?
Right.
I mean, and impose upon others. Here's the same guy, by the way. Trudeau, as you read more deeply about some of the programs and policies he's supported over the years, he supported a social media censorship act a number of years ago. It's being rewritten. It didn't actually make it through. It's being rewritten now. So when you sign up for social media accounts, basically you have to then give over information to the government in Canada. Like, these are the types of things that he supports, but we need to be worried about slippage. We really need to be worried about slippage. And you need to be worried about Putin, because he's coming for you, by the way. Thought I'd point that out.
You know, he's talking about... I'm going to transition to the next story. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
So he's talking about what we see as a writing on the wall, right? Like, we've seen this happening with certain types of politics that we just don't like, right? And I thought it was so interesting that NPR posted a study today about, actually, it's not a study, it's a story, and they're interviewing experts about these doomsday preppers and how that has become more mainstream. And I'm interested in discussing this because it's sort of the way that I think about any time we do a story on geopolitics and how it affects the supply chain of the life that we are used to leading, right? So if you look around your house right now and you think, well, I'm used to getting that lotion and I'm used to getting those packaged cookies and I'm used to having that packaged milk and whatever, could I live my life without these things? For the most part, no. Most of us do not know how to live without geopolitical supply chain, right? You get berries from Mexico, you get whatever it is, like, we just wouldn't know what to do were that to happen. But we've always thought of these doomsday preppers as these sort of like crazies who live in the desert and build bunkers. The data actually shows a significant shift in people who are reading the signs and realizing, I will not be able to buy this thing forever, right? Whether it's $7 gas, whether it's blueberries from Mexico, right? Whether it's guacamole at Chipotle, whatever it is that you feel like you have, and that's what you eat and that's what you live on. A doomsday prepper is defined now, not just as it used to be, that the demographic was someone who's over the age of 50, rural, white, Christian, conservative, male. That is no longer the case. In fact, some of these doomsday prepper online groups, their largest demographic is aged 25 to 44. So young people who are realizing, I can't live like this forever. The world and the planet will not allow it. They are majority educated. They are majority female. Now, according to recent FEMA data, 13 million Americans report that they are currently prepared to make it 30 days without food, water, or electricity. Less than a decade ago, that would have been only 1 million. So, okay, what can you do, right, when you're thinking about, like, just when you see the signs that you will not always be able to buy individually packaged things at the grocery store and you must sort of rethink the way you, like, is this really prepping or is it a return to sustainable living on land? Right.
Right. I think maybe it's gotten that that moniker, or, you know, the preppers, it, somehow it's bad. But in fact, in many ways, it's just like you could say homesteaders in a way, couldn't you? I mean,
you could. Could you say Native Americans who know how to live right. without supermarkets are doomsday preppers?
You could say Rambo.
I don't remember the narrative enough to corroborate he could that.
Blood, so. Not me.
Well, I think also like when you get like the doomsday preppers that are like stocking up on canned goods and like all of the things they they think they'll need. I think one of the things that gets maybe not missed, but is I would say is equally important is stocking up on skills, life skills.
Yes.
Like
yes.
knowing how to garden, knowing how to mend clothing, to build structures, you know, like I always think like because I mean, I was a journeyman carpenter for 10 years and like, so if society collapses, I've still got that applicable skill, but what does a banker do? You know, like right. If that's, you know, in that situation.
No, yeah. I think about this a lot, actually.
Right. Like, okay. So Angel Baby Cards in the chat says this is an alarmist discussion topic, and it's not, because there is now this distinction between preparedness and paranoia, and you can be prepared without being paranoid. Right.
Right.
So please finish what you were saying. I cut you off just.
No, I was going to say I think about it all the time. Like I think about, well, what if, you know, if I was a fan of like Walking Dead and some zombie films and stuff like that. So you think about that stuff, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh my God, like in a situation like this, what would I be able to do?
Yeah.
Okay. What would I be able to do? And I think, okay, I can fish. I know how to use a bow and arrow.
I can garden.
Like I would be like Katniss Everdeen or Hawkeye. Maybe that would be my skill. Like I'd be like, I'm just going to embrace the bow and arrow. I'm going to go out and fish and try to catch our dinner tonight. Like that'll be my thing.
Yes.
But yeah, this like these skills we just do not have. There was a great book I read a few years ago called Shopcraft as Soulcraft. And really about how like getting back to the roots of those like hard skills.
Yes.
And just about like the enjoyment of that work and like why we work. Here's the book, Shopcraft as Soulcraft, in an inquiry into the value of work. It's really, really good. Really, really well written. So, you know, take away some of these like life's little pleasures, but things also that we don't even pay attention to and think of we should need, like how to change, how to fix an engine, like, or how to, mm-hmm. how to change oil, or how to fish, how to make sure that you can start a fire, like all of these like little right. things. I mean, I know it sounds crazy and it sounds conspiratorial, but at the end of the day, planting your own food is not crazy like this.
Well, right. So listen to this. The new definition of a prepper has nothing to do with being a conservative or a Christian or I am not at all interested in this rise up against the government and stock ammo type of prepper. You know, I have young kids. I don't care about that. But I am interested in like sustainable living, because if the supply chain breaks down, I still can feed my family with fruit trees or what have you. The new definition of a prepper is someone who has eyes wide open enough to know that the world can be a dangerous or changing place, and they manage to do something about it. So do you have a fire extinguisher? You're a prepper, right? Do you have an earth? Well, I was raised in California. Do you have earthquake kit? That's a prepper, right?
But do you have aqua socks?
I don't know what that is.
Socks so you can walk in water?
What is that? To walk on coral reefs and stuff?
No, I do not.
We call them river shoes around here.
Yeah, but that would make you a prepper. You're prepped for anything.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Or a Bermuda tourist, right? Don't they use those?
Or like a surfer.
Okay.
But if I had to ask you guys, okay, we'll do a round robin here. And people in the chat, let us know. Everyone in the chat, I want you to give us your life skill that you have. Everyone watching. So flip on, can you flip off of whatever comments?
Something whatever. That yes, you
I will,
can
I will
do.
Flip off the chat.
Okay, yeah. Flip Don't off flip members off only chat. So everyone here, make sure you're subscribed. All you have to do to be able to chat is just subscribe to the channel. That's the only feature we have turned on here. Okay, so let us know here. We'll do a round robin. What life skill do you have that, like, in the event where there's no power, the grid shuts down, nation states are dissolved, and you had to, you know, help us as a community? What skill do you have that would work? Like,
I play acoustic guitar and could entertain.
Okay.
And you think you could barter for food?
Be like, hey, bring the court jester over here to play a little song. Get out his lira, Apollo, and start playing your songs for us.
And you take tips in apples.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Because I'm a carpenter, and I garden. I used to garden. I don't have a space for it right now, so gardening is important.
All right. So I think so far Philip's winning this race.
Yeah.
I can direct plays.
Okay, cool.
For me, I don't know. I read books and I can textualize news and
you can fish.
I can fish.
Ish.
Ish.
I have caught fish.
Yeah. I have caught a lot of fish in my life.
It's not about catching them. It's can you gut them, clean
so,
them.
So if it yes. all goes under Clayton, okay. if it all goes under Clayton, I'll take care of your housing. You're fine.
Okay. So I will catch the fish. You will do the housing. David will play the music and entertain us. And you...
Oh, well, I don't know if you know this, but I am the world's okayest gardener.
That is true.
Yeah.
Okayest, yes. That
you're living with the world's okayest gardener.
So we will have... We will get one carrot.
I can't grow carrots. We still are eating the winter squash that I grew. Lettuce, so how about that?
Tomatoes, okay. They will be overgrown, and they will... Some of them... Many of them will die on the vine, but... There will be food.
You know what, though? You did say that about not being prepped with guns and stuff. But the thing is, like, if this ever goes down, it's going to be the preppers that people go after because they're going to need their resources. Hmm. So people with guns will be hunting the preppers.
Yeah, I've thought about that.
Did you ever see the? Do you ever read the book, the Cormac McCarthy book, The Road? They turned it into a movie, but the book is amazing. Cormac McCarthy is amazing.
Who is that in the chat that says I can reproduce? Very fertile.
Very important. Very important.
Okay, that's actually not going to help you because you'll have more mouths to feed. So
people will be lining up.
No,
but we'd have more gardeners.
I 100% can't do that. So I've got one kid. That's it.
Anyway, in the book The Road, of course, there's like all these like bunkers, right? They go and they find a bunker and they go in and they like end up staying there for weeks because it's just fully stocked with food and the person who owned the bunker is gone.
Okay, but I do want to direct this chat more towards the idea of like maybe we shouldn't use this word prepper and we just talk about sustainers, right?
Yeah.
People who could actually sustain their lives in the event that you can no longer get these certain things.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe we return to hyper-local barter systems where it's like, you've got this and I've got this. I need some of your meat and you get some of my...
The Indian way. I would love that. Like a more tribal system.
Yeah.
Good on you guys. Let us know. I love all the comments. Keep them coming. Someone says
I am going to post to this in the chat, in the newsletter tomorrow, so you guys can listen to this full 31-minute interview in NPR. It's fantastic.
Okay. Carla says, I rap rocks.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to help us when the world
I like
goes
the watcher. The watcher's generally talented.
Earlier when I was thinking about a quote, because there's a movie that I watch called Thunderheart. I think I've seen this movie like 200 times, but talking about like the Indian ways and about freedom and stuff that we were talking about earlier, when this the FBI guy is there and he's telling this Indian, he's like, hey, you got to get out of here, like they're going to be arresting you, and he's like I'm going to take my fate, and he said, but we choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There is a way to live with the earth and a way not to live with the earth. We choose the way of earth. It's about power. And if you think about it, like since the time of the Indians, we have been trying to get so far away from that thinking of tribalism, of living off the earth and only taking what we need. And we just have become this greedy, take everything and maim, pillage and plunder the land to create what this is that we have here. And it's like, what are we living in? Like, look at how bad it is.
Yeah, you have to keep that up if that's the way you're going to live. And, you know, the earth, nature is telling us it can't sustain it anymore.
Imagine if we would have instead of mass killing the Indians and stuff and moving them to reservations, if we would have just like sat down with them and like, let's learn each other's ways and let's kind of come up with a hybrid of what you have, because they had such a good system.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anthony in our chat says, did we declare war? No, we don't have. We haven't declared a war since the Korean War.
They're referring to the title. And I think he said he only just got his notification.
Oh, you just got a notification of our show?
Yeah.
No, I mean, the point is that the United States, yes, we are at war with Russia. Make no mistake about it. Go back to the beginning of the show and watch it from the beginning. I hope you will. And I hope you subscribe. We've got more news to get to.
Okay, but let me just end with this, because I had someone write me yesterday talking about this type of living. If you are the kind of person who are like, I can't garden, I live in an apartment, or I can't get some bees, or I don't hunt, or whatever it is, now is the time to turn your focus towards hyper-local resources and think about what it is you could sustain, right? Everything in the Target, probably you wouldn't be able to get from China in the event of implosion of our society and our economy. But, you know, go to your farmer's market, see what's out there and see what you can support in terms of like, what is a more sustainable way to live? Okay, please.
Yes. All right. We've got, we're going to wrap things up here in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moo Moo. They're giving away, they have a new promotion they just started. And it's fantastic. They're giving away 5 free stocks and another NIO stock, which is a lot of money. They're giving that away for free just for opening an account and funding your account. So when you open it, you get some stocks. And then when you fund it, you get additional. And they're giving away up to $7,000 in stocks right now. And just for our audience, they're giving away that additional stock. If you go to morninginvest.com/moomoo, even if you don't do anything else with your account ever, well, you just got some free money just for opening it. And then you could sell those stocks, right, for cash. And then you've got money for free just for opening an account. Now, if you fund it, you put like $100 in there and you want to actually earn some money and start trading, then they give you additional stocks for free. And they're giving you that NOI stock. So just know it's a no-brainer for signing up, even if you don't do anything about it. But I would encourage you to sign up because then you can take some of their courses that they have for free. So right on their website, when you go to just click on lessons and you can actually start studying whether it's want to learn day trading or swing trading or whatever it is, where you can start making a few thousand extra dollars a month or a year, or a day, quite honestly, as day traders do. You can start to study how this works and learn all of it for free and get free stocks. Like, this is how you can change your life right here once you start going down this rabbit hole and learning how to build some additional wealth. So try it. Go to morninginvest.com/moomoo. It's M-O-O-M-O-O. You have to use that link, though, to get the free stocks and the bonuses. All right. What is trending on the internet today?
All right. I picked out a few things to draw your attention to. International Women's Day is trending because that is today. Do you have, I think it's that one.
I chose a woman.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Here's another one.
Okay. I'll just talk about it while you have her up. Lamb Chop is trending. This is the puppet character created by ventriloquist Sherry Lewis. You may have seen her when you were a kid on PBS.
I've met her. I've interviewed her.
Have you?
Yes. She brought Lamb Chop to the studio one time and I interviewed her.
Was that exciting for you?
Not really.
No?
No.
You don't have
I don't have any fond memories of Lamb Chop.
Okay, well, people are sharing their fond memories. And this, and also, apparently, this is a very popular stuffed animal to get for your pets, if you look at this hashtag.
I was going to say, it looks like a dog. It looks like an animal that
Grover would really enjoy.
I mean, if Grover got a handle on that, it would absolutely destroy that.
I bet it's really valuable, though. It wouldn't be like, oh, Grover, you just destroyed something that could be sold.
It's got to be in like the Smithsonian.
Something like that. Yeah. There doesn't otherwise seem to be news about it, but Vulture is reporting that there is a documentary coming up about Lamb Chop and Sherry Lewis.
Okay.
Bill Cosby is trending because the Supreme Court declined to take up a case against him brought by Pennsylvania prosecutors. Now, you may recall last year he was released from prison on a technicality about his case, and Pennsylvania prosecutors are asking the Supreme Court to take that case back up and put him back in prison. They declined to take up the case, which means, for now at least, and probably that's pretty permanent if the Supreme Court's not willing to take it up, then he will remain a free man. To which I say, Jesus Christ. You get that
yes,
joke?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And finally, this little boy is trending because he has something that I never heard of called uncombable hair syndrome. This is a real thing where the follicles of your hair are shaped differently than other combable hair people. They cannot be combed. He's like an adorable, super little baby Doc Brown. And I love him. And it's funny because you would think, like, if you had that hair, maybe you would keep it shaved. But no, this kid, him and his mom, they go with it. And it's kind of great.
I mean, he does look like Doc Brown, doesn't
yes, he? Yes, he does. Has anybody here ever heard of, I was like, is this a real thing? It's wonderful. We have a link in the newsletter to his Instagram, and I spent way too much time on it today. It's fantastic.
You know, Wikipedia is the worst, right? They're run by billionaires and it's full of misinformation, but occasionally they'll have something that's actually useful. If it's this innocuous, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, the history of it goes back a long time, this uncombable hair syndrome.
So his mom's Instagram is uncombable_locks. Uncombable locks. If you want to watch this little baby grow out his crazy hair, it's wonderful.
That's amazing. Like, you can't do anything to it?
There's nothing you could do. I mean, like, I guess it would stay in a ponytail.
Like, what if I get it wet?
What happened? I'm going to have to search further down the Instagram. But I mean, it's something to do with... Go ahead.
I was going
to
say, my hair is pretty uncombable. Like, I've had... because it's so thick, my hair just gets bigger, and there's literally nothing you can do with it. So I've had the same, like, eighth-inch haircut since I was in my 20s, because there's just nothing I could do with it.
So you keep it super short.
Yeah,
maybe you have this. It's something like the follicle is shaped like a triangle and it has to stand up. You know, it's not like a cowlick.
Did you
like
say
Harry Potter?
You did say it goes only till puberty.
I didn't say that. I didn't know that.
That's what Wikipedia says. Yeah.
Look, only 100 documented cases around the world. Yeah, it's great. And it's, apparently the story goes that the mother posted a picture of her crazy haired little kid. And somebody was like, I think he has uncombable hair syndrome. And she was like, what? Something's wrong with my baby.
She's like, that's funny.
And then she found out that actually he does have that. And that's now he's an Instagram star.
Who would even know that? And that's like one smart Jeopardy person. Whoever was the person that said, I think that person has uncombable hair syndrome. The fact that they knew that, like, is amazing, and they should be on Jeopardy. I'm just going to say that. Right.
Yes.
Now.
He has 27,000 followers, including me now.
How many followers do you have out there? This uncombable hair kid has more than you, I bet. All right. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter. I have more than this curly-haired kid does. More followers there. So does she over there.
Maybe I get more if I just, like...
Yeah, follow me on Twitter.
I'm pretty sure I have like 120 followers
by doing this.
before they shut us down, follow me
on Twitter for more of this.
Before they block us for sharing actual information about what's happening in the world, we do this show every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time trying to make sense of this world. Please subscribe to the channel. How many people are new here? Because we turned off members only chat. All you need to do to be able to mention and say something in the chat is just subscribe to the channel. That's all we ask. It's totally free. We try to do a daily show to provide you with news you're not going to see other places. So please subscribe. Let us know. You did look like Animal. Someone said Animal.
A little bit. Or like Bridget Jones when she's in the car, in the convertible.
Yeah.
It's a good look. I'll try it tomorrow. All right. Thanks for joining us today. We enjoyed your discussion.
Do we have any super chats we want to get to before we get out of here? I know.
Yeah, we got a couple. David completely lost power. He was texting me. So he vanished.
I thought he was uncharacteristically quiet.
So Especially during the Bill Cosby piece.
So I knew there was something going on. Either he just couldn't handle the doomsday prepper thing.
He's out.
And adding to my list of skills, I can also read. So I will read the super chats. So.
Thank you.
None of Your Business had a $5 super chat. If we collaborate with Right Sector and Z keeps them in the army, what does that make us? That was about the war. I'm not quite sure about that.
I think it had to do with supporting people who arm Ukraine. Okay,
Zelensky. He said that it's Z, yes. And I immediately, right. For some reason, went to zombies. But I think that had to do with
that's
our
what
people.
I did too. I was like, nice. Z? World War Z.
Contextual, please.
I thought the same thing. Said.
Then we had Michelina or Michelina, $2 super chat. Biden doesn't care. Meeting to a tyrant narco deal. Not sure when that came in.
That's about Venezuela.
About Venezuela. Yeah.
Thank you
for that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just 0 for 2 right now on understanding context.
Okay.
Michael S, $5 super chat. The taking of rights until they come for each of us is why I feel the registries are blueprint to get us all.
Oh, you mean?
And then he had
registries. Yeah.
And then Michael S had another. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I think you're right. Go ahead.
The taking of rights. Is that the same with the taking of rights until they come for each of it? Yeah. So he sent that one twice, or maybe I flagged it twice. I'm not sure. And then we had a $5 super chat. That was the one from Robert Hoyt that said the CIA created the conspiracy theory term in 1967 to discredit people questioning the JFK assassination.
Well, you're not going to hear this on CNN. So thank you guys for subscribing to the channel, making us a part of your daily routine. We're working on a whole bunch of changes here that hopefully are going to benefit the show tremendously over the next couple of weeks. So we're kind of just, it's a lot of things we're thinking about and ruminating on to make the show better. So we'll be unveiling some of those things in the coming weeks ahead. So very, very excited about sharing that with you. So thank you for making our mornings with you. Sharing your mornings with us.
We'll be here tomorrow. We'll tell you how Clayton's Apple watching experience was. So if you've cleared your calendar like Clayton has, then we'll talk about iPads tomorrow in addition to politics.
Yes, and Ula Hula. And a lot of people are saying, where's Grover? The camera is down, and he is not upstairs right now. I need to get our Grover cam back up and running.
Yeah.
Our two-month-old mini picture.
He's
mini
wily
picture.
These days.
He's been crazy running around the house. So I'll try to get a video or get some footage of him up here. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.